safety committee meeting for Wednesday, December 18th to order at, the time is about 12:07. And can we please go around and state who's here? Myself, Andrew Plowman as chair.
Julie Osmus.
Audrey Nelson.
Brian Grammons.
Kurt Hine.
Rob Baumgarn.
Sean Christensen.
Fernando Alvarado.
And we have Kelsey Dobosk helping assist us with the minutes and notes. Our first item is regarding the Invest in Wilmer architectural contract. Mr. Baumgarn, take it away.
All right, thank you. Thanks for everyone coming here at the noon hour and getting this one in so we don't have to spend another night at a meeting. So thank you. This is going to be three motions for the RFP for the architects for the Invest in Wilmer projects. Again, the projects are going to be the recreation fields. That will be $6 million. The event center will be $10 million. And the Swanson Field, that will be $2 million. So basically, in a nutshell, the Invest in Wilmer committee interviewed several architects and narrowed it down to who they would like to see the projects go to. So one of the motions will be to adopt a resolution to enter into a contract with Winsett, Smith, and Nolting as the architects for the Invest in Wilmer project for the recreation fields with an A&E service of 7%. Do we want to go through all of them, or do we want to each do each one separate?
Well, I can make a motion for this one so we can talk about it.
We can do them separately then. That's yeah. Fine. What would the committee like to do?
I'll enter that motion.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution entering into contract with Winsett, Smith, and Nolting as the architect for the Invest in Wilmer project regarding the recreational fields. Discussion.
Just first question, who was on the committee?
The Invest in Wilmer committee?
That narrowed it down to these three.
Recreation Fields was John Coldno, Tony Ahman, Jim Felk, and Sean.
Okay.
We had different committees for each.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yep.
To kind of not have one person go through 18 proposals.
Okay.
So that was, just to clarify, that was the subcommittee.
Yep. Two subcommittee members and two city staff looked at two of the three. The event center was just city staff that viewed it due to the conflicts that the event center subcommittee had. No one would volunteer to look at them. So we had 28 RFPs total. There was 8 for recreation fields, 8 for Swanson, and 12 for the event center.
Okay. So each subcommittee narrowed it down to two for each of those. And then those two were asked to give an interview to a different subcommittee of where each one of these was selected.
Okay.
Yep.
So I was part of the local option sales tax. What's the right term for it? I'm going to say main group. I don't know if it's the right term. And everyone was present except Sean. Andrew was there in the back. We're part of them. So we spent from...
2 o'clock to...
I got home at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it was...
To listen to these. There was a lot of information with that. They literally came as two proposals without any information about the rest of it kind of thing. And so the groups did, I think, a good job presenting that. The one thing that I will say was an overall theme between all of the architects is when they start... to make sure that we have a master plan for not only what we're, you know, working on, but also will there need to be some phased-in approach kind of things to make sure that we aren't just doing one piece and creating problems for the rest of the with that. And I heard that for all three of those, I think, too. So with that, they also, I think, had most of them shared a timeline that built in time for review, time for community input, and to like buy into this step and before you go on to the next. So I thought they did a good job of that. So it wasn't without its moments, but it was good. And I think these three really have done a lot of projects in the area and are knowledgeable about each project on their own.
Where is Winsett out of?
Their main office is I would consider it the Crookston office, but they also have one in Alexandria, Rochester, Bemidji, Baxter, so they're throughout the state of Minnesota.
They're known, if you go to like league meetings and other things, as WSN. You'll see their advertising and their...
They're dropping stuff off for us all the time. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Go ahead, Fernando.
So what was the thing that made Winsett stand out above the rest? What is it, prior experience? Is it what nailed it for you? Nailed it for us?
Do you want to speak for the group? For what I saw, what they had is that they just had a wide range of knowledge of turf fields, from Bemidji State to fields that they did down in the Rochester area. They've had the gamut of what we were looking for as far as in the recreation field aspects of it.
So I think, at least for me, I mean, we only saw two, and so it was picking between one or the other, and they stood out more than the other one, is the best way to say it. So.
If you look at the scores of the subcommittee and the staff, the top two were usually really close. There might have been a close third, but then they dropped off in points rather rapidly after that. And so because of the duration of the interviews, some people thought we'd just take 15 minutes per interview and go through a bunch of them, and it's just not the way it's done. And because one group thought they should have three to interview, so we just said, we're taking the top two. And so through the scoring process, we narrowed it down to two, and in the interview process, narrowed it down to the recommended proposal. And in an answer to the question is that some people just have more experience in turf fields and putting in ball diamonds and football fields than others. And that's how it pans out. And that the more experienced one that has the most experience relative to our project. Now, there may be firms that submitted proposals that had 10 times more experience doing other things, but they weren't really our project. And so that's how, you know, I noticed that we were measuring them, is that what experience do they have for the closest thing to our project?
Go ahead, Audrey.
We talked about the fees in each group, but when I was looking at this motion today, I see the difference between our first motion and our second motion, and I don't know if staff have any comments about, I can't remember where the other ones were, if they were higher or lower, because we didn't use that as a total decision-making process with what the costs were. So I don't know if anybody has any comments about that.
They were close.
Okay.
They were really close. If it was 5.95 versus 6, it's that kind of numbers.
Yeah.
This says 7.
Yep.
For...
You know, and over the scheme of the project, that doesn't amount to much. And when you're selecting professional services, you don't necessarily go on that anyway. I mean, it's one aspect of selection. But...
Yep. I agree with that. I just didn't remember the differences
right. Between
one and the other. That's all.
And we did try to negotiate down to a 6. They come in at a 7, and we know just...
We have that prerogative, but we haven't.
So they're the best. We want them. They want 7.
Okay. We can still talk. We haven't signed a contract. Right. All we've done is select them. One of the mistakes that was made was on the recreation field. They had submitted the quote form for Swanson Field. So they had $2 million when the project was $6 million. They just misplaced the Swanson Field sheet, but it was 7%.
Okay,
and so I did ask the question, on $6 million project, usually you see that number will go down. The gears were going in the head, the math was being computed, and the result was, I think we were staying at 7%. So that's one where I think I want to have a discussion before we sign contracts, because basically what I'm going to say is, show me your curve. Show me your billing curve, because the smaller the project, the higher the percentage. And as the project gets larger, the percentage gets smaller. So it should have, from $2 to $6 million, it should have dropped something. So it's not the end of the world. This is the recommendation, but it still allows us to say, all right, you're our architect. Let's talk about this now.
And I'll just say from an outsider's perspective, because I got to just sit and observe the final portion of the meeting, I won't comment on the presentations themselves from the individual presenters, but I will say that I think the discussion that followed by the board, they were asking all of the right questions. All of the right concerns were brought up. There was I would say lively and good debate regarding, and I appreciate that. I think it's good because we got a multitude of perspectives that were, and there was good debate regarding various points that I thought were all substantive. They're all important. It was good debate that happened, and so I think I felt very comfortable with the process that they went through, and I was proud of the team for coming to consensus after that debate. And it certainly wasn't anything where I think everybody was, once that decision was made, then everybody seemed to be on board.
Yep.
Which I think was great.
I may too, and I appreciate your comments with that. This local options sales tax group, these are community members that have a sincere passion for their projects. I think there is a struggle with them to deal with what we now have to deal with, because it is a city project and it has to fit into the, how we do business as a city. And so that's a learning curve for some of them, and I think sometimes their passion gets a little in the way of looking at what has to be done as far as getting bids and some of those kinds of things. And so that, I think, if there's one thing that I'm concerned about right now, is that we have good projects. I'm not sure the dollars are there to do the projects the way they need to be done for our community. And so to slow down to make sure we do it right, and if some things have to be done in phases, to realize we can't shortchange ourselves one place, and then, this is a project that needs, these are projects that need to last this community a long time. And so that's my concern right now, is that we have a bigger passion than the pot of money that we have, and that we take the time to do it right.
I would echo that, and I would say from a 100,000 foot view, which is our job right now, that's the way that we see it. I feel confident that our public works director, and I think our administrator would probably also back us up on that, that the various department heads involved recognize that.
Yes.
And they know that right out the chute, and I think that they're going to do everything possible to work with these various entities to try get the maximum value that we can out of each and every one of these projects. Go ahead, Julie.
On that note, I know that because the cost of what they thought they were going to spend came in a year or two ago, and then that was before we had to take out architectural fees and all the other soft costs, that there isn't going to be enough money in the end. So do we run into any problem with how that was sold for the local option sales tax, if we have to take out certain things to be able to make things fit into the budget?
But the answer is no.
Okay.
You.
So let's say if it was in there that we were going to have a concession stand, and the money just isn't there because the money had to go into the field.
Yep.
Can we still be okay with that put that into a future CIP? Okay.
I think Rob would also agree too that changes can be made if need be. Changes can be made to the projects where it doesn't affect the project significantly enough to affect that verbiage that was used to sell the project. and on a legal, you know, statute, state statute of Audrey.
The other thing I was impressed with the architects too is they recognized that we probably don't have enough money to do what our wish list is. But they also incorporated into their presentations their experience in looking for other pots of money or grants or different kinds of things to help us along the way. And so I think that's another reason, just to make sure we're recognizing some of those things or community or those types of with that. And I felt their experience in doing other projects and knowing what's out there for opportunities will be a benefit to us.
Okay. I'm going to ask the question. I know we're running this through, but this will pertain to all of them, so then we won't have to discuss it again. But the fee summary page, can somebody explain that to me? I see a table. Can that table be explained to the committee so that if it gets brought up again at the council level, we have an easy answer for that?
Do you want that or do you?
Yeah, the fee table, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm going to basically go off of my memory. The architectural and engineering services, that would be, you got a $10 million project, that would be the percentage that they would take for their services. The engineering services is the percentage of engineering services found within the architect and engineering services. So on rec field, 57% is engineering, which means 43% is architectural.
Yeah, of the 5.9.
So it's not 5.95% plus another 50%. It's 5.95% is the total. And of that, 57% is engineering and 43% is, architectural.
So that's a ratio.
It's a ratio.
Showing us how these projects differ, engineering versus, civil engineering, land engineering, survey, stuff like that.
Yep.
Versus designing buildings and structures.
The last column, although the rec center didn't include anything in there, I would anticipate it's going to be 5.95%. That is if there are any change orders that exceed the 5% that we would allow, 5% change orders, they don't get no more money. Nothing. That's just flipping of this around, that around, slight increase. Anything over 5%, then they would charge an additional 7% of that change order cost above 105% of the project cost.
Why is it state?
I don't know why that says state. I think what it said was state your architectural and engineering fees if there's a cost overrun.
That makes sense. All right.
Condensed.
It should have said.
Isn't the state of Minnesota?
It should have said architectural and engineering fees exceeding 5% change orders. That's what it should have said. So those are the three categories.
And we could probably drop that column all together to make it a little less confusing, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have that retitled for the council meeting. So
that will hang. People may get hung up on that.
But is it okay?
If it can be hung up on.
Isn't that the purpose of what if they at-risk person?
Construction manager.
So that doesn't happen.
That's true. And that's why it's probably not really important that it be there. But and the other side of it is it's the same number as their normal architectural fee. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
It's a redundancy, a protective measure, I guess.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Okay. Other discussion regarding what we're doing here with all three of these motions, but the first one first. Further discussion? We have a motion and a second to enter into a contract with WSN as the architect for the Invest in Wilmer project recreational fields for A&E services of at the rate of 7%. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? That motion does pass. The next motion that we're looking for would be adopting resolution entering into a contract with LSE Architects as the architect for the Invest in Wilmer project recreation and event center at the Civic Center location with a services contracted amount, 5.95%. What was the committee's intent for this one?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to enter that resolution, that contract. Any discussion regarding this one? Go ahead, Fernando.
I think Rob mentioned that some of the committee members didn't want to be a part of this decision on who they were going to use for an architect.
No, I think it's strictly timing.
They weren't available.
They're busy with their own schedules.
The invitation was sent out, but because of the timing line that we had to make a decision, we couldn't wait 2 weeks.
Okay.
We had to get her done.
Okay.
And that's why they weren't involved. The committee suggested it to have city staff do it, and people agreed to it. And we moved forward from there.
Who's the liaison from the? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yep. Who's the liaison from the council to the school?
Which the
rec center?
Rec center.
Vicky.
Okay, I asked a couple members why they didn't do this, and they're, I think, I'm not sure how often they've actually been meeting, and so. I think there was some confusion, at least what I heard too, with what they were being asked to do and what information they had available to. So hindsight would say it's unfortunate that somebody wasn't there, because I think it would have helped the conversation at the table.
Right. Julie, you're next.
Where's LSE out of, and what kind of projects have they done?
They're out of the Twin Cities area, Minneapolis. I think the one that probably is more really noticeable is that they helped out with the U.S. Bank Stadium, with the locker rooms, with the Vikings locker room. They've done a lot of projects with YMCAs. So they've done the gymnasiums. They've done the new Jewish building down there. So they can do it all. And so I think that's what impressed the group.
I think they were actually, for the Viking Stadium, the main architect hired maybe like four other architectural firms, because that's just too big for one. And so they piecemealed it out, and this firm was actually in charge of the construction of the site, the physical, making sure it got constructed correctly. So they weren't in the design aspect, but they've done plenty of design, you know, in other facilities. They were in charge of making sure the brick and mortar got put where it's supposed to get put. So,
go ahead, Audrey.
So all of these companies also contract out pieces of their project, which I found was interesting, is the same gentleman was there to present his portion of the project will work with WSN and will work with LSE. And I forget what.
Jay.
What company he's coming from.
It was landscaping.
AJA and Associates.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And they're a well-known name in the upper Midwest for exactly this type of work.
LSE?
One of their subs.
Yeah.
Okay, one of their subs.
Yeah, and they all have, and this is quite frequent for these types of projects, whereas you'll have a main, and then they will partner with these other firms that specialize in these different things. And so it just so happened that these top two that came then for these two, they shared that portion of landscape architecture, yeah. So I think that continuity is good, because that will further vest them in Wilmer and in these projects.
Especially with these two projects, the event center and the recreation fields.
With like their proximity to each other and some benefits that and amenities they could share.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you all felt good leaving these, confident with what you got?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Does
that leave
you
feeling
good? Putting my faith in you. Yes.
I feel good, if I may. I feel good that these people have lots of experience throughout the state. It was very difficult on some of them to make a decision based off on the information I get. But I'm confident that these three do wonderful things throughout our area and that they will work hard for us.
Okay.
I'll give you a little more confidence.
So, work it.
I've literally walked these project sites designed by these companies for over 10 years. They're good projects.
Okay.
They're good companies.
Okay. This is big stuff. I want to make sure we have the right people.
Yes.
Agreed.
Did I say that okay?
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
I saw, in fact, some of the aerial photography that I saw is photography that I think we took at one point in time. Good projects and well trusted, well respected in the industry.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution entering a contract with LSE Architects as the architect for the Invest in Wilmer project with the Recreation and Event Center at the Civic Center location. Services at a contracted amount of 5.95%. Further discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, that motion passes. And the final resolution that we'll be looking for is regarding the Swanson Fields portion of the project, also being awarded to WSN as the architect at a A&E services contracted amount of 7%. What would the committee like to do?
Make a motion to adopt a resolution to enter into a contract with Winsett Smith Nolting as the architect for the Invest in Wilmer project, Swanson Fields, with an A&E service of 7%.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion, comments, or questions? Sounds like we pretty much covered it with the previous
yep.
two. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? And that motion passes. Mr. Administrator, any further action necessary before we can move these forward? So this should be it.
Yep.
Rob, go ahead.
I'll just say we got to go to the Park and Rec Board.
Well, yeah.
So we're going to introduce it at 1:30 today to them, so they're aware of the process.
Okay. Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, we've got these three projects. Are they? I'm guessing that they're not in order of how they're going to proceed, or are they? Has that been outlined yet, or is that still being formulated?
That'll be worked out after a review, you know, like the pre-design, where they get to, you know, figure out what you have going on. They lay it all out, and all the discussion of timing will come into play, because Swanson Field, you know, everybody was saying, let's get going. It's April. Let's dig dirt. And the architects there said, you might get better prices if you start in September. You get more bang for the buck because, you know, everybody wants their sod, you know, their turf fields in the spring. You get, when they're slacking off, and you get a better price. So timing is yet to be worked out on all of them.
Okay.
That'll be part of the whole decision package for the council at some point in time.
And if I may, Audrey, just before you say, to piggyback on that, these design professionals, these firms, they know so well how this process works, and they know, because they see this every single year, year in, year out, how these bids come back when they bid them at different times of the year, and they know who's going to be the bidders. They because it's all the same pool of bidders every time. So they know that, and I think I'm confident they'll be looking out for our best interest as best they can.
Okay.
Audrey, go ahead.
I was just going to comment, since we said we were going to do a meeting on December 30th regarding local option sales tax, that'll come before the council actually votes on these architects. And so I'm just curious if there's any suggestions for what kind of information is going to be brought to the council on the 30th from the local option sales tax, if we can get some of the community kind of conversation about what Swanson Fields is talking about or what the event center is
talking about. I don't think we're going to get that detail. I think if we're going to make any presentation, we say it's been through Park and Rec, it's been through...
No, at the retreat, or at the retreat.
Right, right. It's been through Park and Rec, it's been through Public Works Safety, it's on your next, but here's the process we used, and here's who we're recommending, and you'll see that on the next...
I wasn't talking about the architects, so I was talking about the whole project.
I know. I
You don't think we're going to do that?
No. Swanson Field Committee, Subcommittee doesn't even know what they're going to do.
Well, I think that's my concern, though, because we've made decisions on the architects, and I don't see that the council's not going to support that. But there's a lot of discourse going on with the groups.
Sure.
And, you know, you hear this about Swanson, and you hear this about the event center. And so how is we as a council going to be brought up to speed with some of those conversations?
Yep.
I'm curious.
But that's part of the architect's job.
So we aren't going to talk about that?
We can talk about what we've done up to this point in time and how we methodically winnowed it down and that. But like Swanson Field, the architect is going to sit down with the Swanson Field subcommittee and say, okay, what do you want to do? Let's focus.
Are you wanting the council to be up to speed with why there's this discussion about orange and blue?
That's
what you're thinking?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of different conversations going on about the fields and the domes and all of those.
But I would leave the Swanson Field subcommittee work with the architect and come up with a plan.
So then should we even really be talking about this on the 30th then, if we're not going to get into any of the details?
If you want to just talk about where we are today, you know, like we can bring everybody up to speed and so everybody knows. But part of the architect's job is to take all the ideas of that subcommittee. I want blue, I want orange, I want fence, I want light, I want this, I want dugouts, I want to move the fence. Take all of that, and then they'll winnow it down to, no, you don't have enough money to orange and blue. You got enough money for orange. You want to split this up? You know, it's just, you don't have enough money to do this. And so they'll winnow it down, and then they'll come up with that pre-design, we'll narrow it down. I think they'll have at least three options, what you could do, and then ultimately somebody will have to select an option, and then the discussion about what is being done is focused. Okay, I don't think the council wants to get involved in, which, let's debate orange versus blue, and let's talk about the depth of the field and all this stuff. That's the architect and the subcommittee. That's their job to do that. That's my thoughts on it.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just not sure if December 30th is the right time then to be talking. I was thinking about being brought up today with what's happening at Robbins Island and where, you know, kind of what the group's been talking about and those types of things. So
I mean, we've got the contract with Bolton and Mink on Robbins Island. I think the things that we have in place and going, we can update the city council. Where are we?
If I may, I think I'm going to give a big kudos and credit to our staff, because I think when it came to these subcommittees and how things began when the subcommittees first started working, I think it really was the proverbial cart before the horse. I saw plans being made and you know, lists being put together and all that stuff, and I think staff recognized that as well and went back and tried to jump in everywhere as best as possible and gently, kindly, but also firmly. Some of these things are things that need to be made by professionals, and if we don't do that, we're going to have, you know, budgets are not going to align, and this is all going to be really messy, and we need a master plan. I think you guys discussed that, you know, further, but I think, you know, we can be confident that we've now pulled back. I think the cart is in the right place. We're choosing our horses, and now that they've been Sean, you like that one?
I do.
And
did you think about that one for a while?
So I think we got it back in the right order.
Yep.
And so I'm confident that moving forward now, that's what's going to take place. And so the subcommittees are now going to be able to work together with these companies and start to lay out the vision for just what can be and how it should be.
Just being an advocate of bringing the council along with what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was coming from. I can respect what Brian is saying about, you know, not putting information out there that hasn't been decided yet, but I think that's happening in some places, and so that's a concern. And I'm just concerned if the council feels, part of the council feels that they don't know what's going on with local option sales tax projects. Kind of like I feel like I don't know what's going on with the City Hall project. And so that's what I was hoping we would accomplish with this retreat, and so however we need to do that to keep the peace is, I guess, what I'm looking for.
Well, and maybe a good way to do that is to make sure that those who should have the reins on these projects really take the reins, because otherwise, even myself, maybe sometimes our inclination is to jump in and start doing this stuff, and we end up going down the rabbit hole of micromanaging ourselves, and we don't even realize we're doing it, when we should be yielding to the expertise that we're spending big money on and that we've taken the time to put together committees and subcommittees and, you know, all those various things. So, like I said, if those who should have the reins take the reins and the council gets that feel that, hey, we got this, you know, then we can sit back and we can listen, rather than feeling like we need to get in there and fight for our opinions.
Yeah, I totally, not that I have control issues, but...
Your career would speak differently.
You said, but.
You said it.
But you exactly nailed it. It's like, okay, so if I'm going to vote for these things, I have to be convinced that my vote is the right vote. So
yeah, well stated. Okay, is everybody cool with that subject for now? Mm-hmm. Okay, then we are going to move on to our second item of business with the Robbins Island Four Seasons Shelter. Happy we're not discussing this on Monday. Yeah, well, this is not going to come before us for a little while yet. So that's good too. I'll rest up my voice. Mr. Christensen, lead us away on this one.
As promised, this is a second change order in the group that was sent that you guys approved the other night. This is one that you hadn't seen before, which is why I pulled it from Monday night's discussion.
And thank you.
And to today, this is actually for a portion of the project that was originally bid as owner or city work to do, and is raising, basically it's just raising stems or raising valve boxes on the existing water system that's out there. And it was determined after the bid came in that the city shouldn't be doing that work. We should let the contractor that's on site do it while he's there. And so that's what this is. This puts it back to the contractor instead of city work.
What does the council wish to do with this?
And Kurt's here too, if he's been on site more often than I have, if he has got any questions about specifics.
We can discuss it if somebody.
I'll make a motion that we approve change order number 2 for Robbins Island in the amount of $3,177.72.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second discussion.
Audrey. So my question is, did he agree to do this work? Should this be coming out of this budget, or should it be coming out of the city budget? Because we specifically said we recognized that there were other items that need to take place out there.
Correct.
That was not the responsibility of this project. So not opposed to doing a change order, but when you look at the discussion about the cost of this,
right,
should this be a city expense because we said we had agreed to do these things separate from this project?
Well, ultimately, it is a city expense, and it's just kind of which pot of money it comes out of.
That's what I'm saying.
And so we've elected at this point to leave it in the project costs, so that the way I've always looked at budgets, even if you go over on a specific line item, I'm more worried about 20 years from now, if we look at what was spent on that particular project, where would you look?
Yeah.
And we don't want to say, okay, this project is $950,000, but $3,000 of it was over here somewhere else, and I want it all in one location.
And I think that's the parts that not palatable to some people, is that we're going over because it was already over.
Yeah.
What they were said, what they were told it should come in.
Yep.
But my frustration with that is we've already somewhat made a verbal commitment to do plumbing for bathrooms and other things out there.
And we are doing those
that
things
are separate from this. And so to encumber this project with something that the city said they were going to do, that's my frustration with how this is being kind of torn apart.
And this particular one is a little separate, a little different in my mind, because the plumbing that we are doing is internal and is completely separate from what the contractor is already doing.
Yeah.
I mean, easily separated. this particular item, since the contractor is putting in a water line, the contractor is putting in the valves and everything else, for the city to come in and try to coordinate that with the contractor of when exactly these stems need to be raised, as they got deeper into the project, we realized it was made more sense to have the contractor do it.
I'm not saying the contractor shouldn't do it.
Okay.
I'm questioning whether the dollars for the contractor doing it should be part of this project or be picked up as a city expense to keep this project in budget in case there's other change orders.
Well, it's city expense anyway. Either way.
That's easy for you to say.
It's all general fund.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but going through what we did about colors the other night, I'm just concerned that this is another example of we said we were going to do something and it didn't have to be in this contract, and now with that. So.
Administrator Grommets.
Maybe just for clarity purposes, let me just say this was a change order and it has to be approved on this project. But there's nothing saying that you can't, accounting-wise, transfer the dollars from public works to pay for it. So the numbers stay here. It has to be a change order, but you could say...
You mean like a reallocation of funds?
Yeah. We're going to take it out of existing...
If we were going to do it, if we were going to do that, I guess I would rather reallocate funds into this as opposed to just grabbing money.
I don't know whether we need to do that, but if we're going to have... This project's going to have more change orders. Let's just acknowledge that, potentially. So we could reach a point where there isn't enough money inside. And maybe we keep a running tab of what we've had to do that we had agreed to do or change orders that needed to be made that we can come back and say, you know, the city needs to pay for this someplace else because it wasn't... You know, with that. So
when we've exceeded the contingency.
Now I will say you're exactly right. We had about $93,000 in contingencies, and so we're not even close to hitting the budgeted number, even though it's over the original contract with the contractor. So budget-wise, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're good. So if that helps anybody's,
Fernando.
Okay. Where is this physical? Item going to be the valve stem assemblies. Is that right part of the building? Is that closer to the entry of the park? Where is this piece?
It's in the ground above the water line.
How close to the building?
This particular one? I don't know how far this moves. 10 feet away?
Yeah, anywhere from 10 to 30 feet away. There's a couple different valves that they end up.
So this isn't the valve stem that comes up to the stools?
You're not going
to
see any of it?
No.
Okay.
Well,
this is
basically like a water shutoff valve that you have on the middle of the street or in the curb.
The curb stop in your yard. Just
like if you don't pay your water bill, the one that they come in.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm very familiar with that.
I'm sure.
And the reason, the reason I'm asking that is, I'm hearing what Audrey is saying as far as allocating money and maybe it's easier to say it's part of the project when it's actually physically close to the project as opposed to being further away from the project where we might have to you know what I mean? I don't see it as...
Like if it was all by the highway, it seems less a part of the project than
right.
if it's up close to the structure.
Right, exactly. So that's what I was trying to get at. I know it's needed to make the project work. I understand that, but I think...
We wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for the project.
Right, I understand that, but how we get the monies, we had a big deal last Monday night about the roof, and it isn't like we're not taking this seriously, and we're not just flippantly spending money here and there. And so I just want to make sure that we allocate the money.
Does the issue sheet have the budget numbers on there?
Yeah, but we did put we didn't put the beginning and ending contingency dollars in there, which we could add.
But I think we're at of 90 some, we're at 30 some, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're about 30.
We're still plenty in
35%.
And I know it's probably too late to do this, but I guess I would put the numbers more in a financial
maybe that
column,
in
not in a sentence structure. Because it's hard to follow. You say budget, contract,
of the whole change entire project? Orders,
kind of.
So yeah, we could put a balance sheet, I suppose, along with this.
Yeah.
What'd you
I was asking what the total percentage of the project is to completion.
Well, I could probably look that up, but I'm, you know, just by looking at the project, they're right now, they're hanging sheetrock. Windows will be coming in next week with the doors, and steel will be coming in the middle of January for the roof. Then you have siding, and then you have the landscaping.
But with
outside,
it all
so I would,
dried in and everything, I mean, that's exceeds 50%.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, so
50 to 60%.
Yeah, 50 to 60% done, and we're 30% of the available contingency fund.
They say the biggest contingencies are usually underground. The costly items are underground,
so
with infrastructure and stuff, and that's soil corrections, infrastructure, everything like that. And that's what we just had our last change orders were of that. So,
which is good to know, Audrey.
Okay, I'm fine with this, but I do think perhaps. For staff and for future, just to keep a running total of things that were, you know, that we were outside of the contract kind of thing that we had to do because our infrastructure there is so old.
Yeah.
If you look at, so you want something similar to, look at page 9 of 10.
9 of 10.
Which is the architect's form, but we could put something together similar to that. So it shows the original contract, the net change for change orders, and then it goes down to the total now contract. We could put something together similar to that, along with an additional column that would show what the contingencies are.
I mean, I guess
And what's odd about this is number 2, and you've already approved 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Got it.
Change order number 1 was 1, 3, and 4, actually. This is change order number 2, which is just number 2. So if you look at number 4s of the last council meeting,
yeah,
that shows all of the change orders. That shows all the numbers.
As if
where number 2 won't.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. And so it may be a good thing to pull out.
Yeah, and that's my fault because we submitted it as one summary change order Monday night, mm-hmm, instead of change orders 1, 3, and 4.
That was fun.
Now we're caught up after this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And there's bound to be additional stuff, but the more information I fully agree with Audrey and everybody else on this. The more information that we have, knowledge is power, and the more that can be out there and transparent, then the less chance of surprising anybody in the public, surprising other members of the council, hopefully a easier process working through these, authorizing them officially. Further questions, comments, concerns? Fernando, you good?
I'm good.
All right. Okay, well, we have a motion and a second to approve change order number 2 for the Robbins Island Four Seasons Shelter project in the amount of $3,177.72. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, that motion passes. Do we have any other items for the good of our committee this day? Go ahead, Audrey.
Just a question on sidewalks. I hate to be a pain, but there's a lot of sidewalks that aren't shoveled right now.
And Mr. Christensen, what is the responsibility, process, ordinance,
very similar
policy?
Yeah, very similar to lawn mowing. And so what happens is the complaints come in, Kelsey fields most of them, we send letters, and same process. So if it's not cleared, then we clear it and build a president.
So it's a complaint-based system,
yeah.
Or if somebody happens to notice,
yeah,
a city employee,
yeah,
happens to notice.
Yeah, because you talk to Gary probably daily about,
yeah,
new phone calls that have come in or whatever, so...
So two more questions,
yep,
May, regarding that. We have some sidewalks that we do, like on main streets. I don't know which ones they are. But
yeah, some of the collectors.
Should we
and
be doing more main streets?
You know, we've had that discussion, and we can. It takes more manpower, and of course the streets come first. But we can definitely have that discussion. You know, we're right now our equipment is fully used for the full 8 hours.
Yeah, I know.
And so are the manpower. So I don't know, any other thing to add to that as far as adding more city responsible sidewalks? I would hesitate to add much more.
That's what I'm, yeah.
Well, I was thinking at least 19th Avenue west of First Street, yes, for about 1 to 2 blocks.
Right.
I think that's necessary. Aside from that, I don't know.
Sure,
we need color of house.
Yeah, there you go.
I had shared, I was to the bike meeting before we came here, but if you talk about a community being walkable and bikeable, I encountered a bike in the middle of Fifth Street, in the dark, with a guy on his phone the other night.
Me too.
I mean,
oh, I think I was the same guy.
with that, but just a concern in, 19th Avenue. I mean, we got a lot of apartments out there. There's a lot of people walking with that. I don't know what the answer to it is, but there's a lot of streets that right now don't have that.
It's the property owner's responsibility. Now, when they do it, is the next step.
Well, and I also was thinking after a comment like that, because I noticed there was somebody out in the street too, way too far out in the street. And I know even sometimes in the middle of the summer, you have people on the street as opposed to on the sidewalks, mm-hmm, which is a pain. But I was thinking, maybe with our new snow ordinance policy, we're going to get that snow pushback so much further. So at least those on the street will be further towards the curb. Right? Right? Yeah. Everybody say right.
Yes.
Right,
harumph.
The second question I have, when we're looking at how we're going to notify people about snow, mm-hmm, emergency kind of thing, Mankato has a system that allows people, so if I need to call and make a complaint that 19th Avenue is in the snow, the electronic way of doing that, of logging that in, that then has I've listened to council members from Mankato talk about, they can look and see what complaints are in their ward, what staff have been assigned to it, when they've been taken care of, those kinds of things. And so both for council members and for community use, is that something that we're part of what we're looking at for electronic?
Well, it could be. We already have that and it's not used. We've already got that app on the phones, we've got it on mine, and it's 100, one of the first buttons there is register complaint. And then I think all of those go to the IT department now, who disseminates that information as needed. But I would imagine there's a history there as well that they could be logged differently.
This is just personal for me, but if I call here, I talk to Deb, who then transfers me to someone else, who transfers you to someone else, and other council members are calling staff directly, which I'm not sure we should be doing that either.
The call-in, this app I was talking about is all electronic.
Yeah.
Or if an email comes in, but the call in, I don't know how that gets logged when it's happening that way.
And maybe it's different. Maybe they're only using it for staff and council versus community. But community calls in, is there a way? I don't know.
To log those? I'm sure there is. I'm not sure what that is, though.
Yeah, I think it goes on the same system, but you'll see it's called C-Click-Fix. That's the one that pops to my mind, but there's many more out there. Citizen sees a pothole, they click a photo, or they hit the app, they take the photo and they hit send, and it goes right to IT, and then IT then sorts it out. This is a park issue, this is, maybe it's a fence that's broke, this is a park issue, this is a street issue, this is a whatever issue. Maybe it's a parking lot, parking ramp issue. And it gets sorted out to the department, and then people can actually then go back on their phone, go to that item that they sent in, and then they'll see that was assigned to Sean in Public Works on Monday the 16th, and the timetable's there, and then all of a sudden you'll say, fixed on the 22nd. So you can follow. There's many of those out there. The easiest one to remember is a C-Click-Fix.
I think Mankato's had something to do with, wasn't it like 7-1-1 or, one of the...
Yeah, like a 5-1-1.
Something
state one,
with that.
Yep.
But that they raved about it with how you didn't have to keep calling and bothering staff or those kinds of things, and you knew what was going on. So.
Yeah, we'll look. We've got another presentation coming up with another potential software. We'll look and see what those options are.
Because one of the negatives, and I'll just jump in on this, is that if you happen to have a sidewalk that has snow on it, somebody who happens to be walking by, driving by, or riding their bicycle is more likely to turn in that person than their neighbor who lives right next door to them.
Sure.
And so having the ability for everybody out there to see something and ask for it to get fixed, you'll get more of it. Because and now we're relying on the neighbor next door basically to say, God, your sidewalk's in, you're not cleaned, and I can't walk someplace.
And they may like their neighbor.
Yes.
They don't like the situation, but they like their
but
neighbor.
They like their neighbor.
And they just don't wanna.
Yep.
That makes sense.
But is there any anonymity to the click, whatever? Because it's gonna come with your name on it.
I think so, yeah. I think it's anonymous.
Okay. I think it fits in though with what I've heard from Dr. Graham said too, wanting to deal with blight and nuisance all of those kinds of things, and that we have been a complaint based kind of thing, and it's hard to call on your neighbor. I mean, it's hard to call and complain about your neighbor, kind of thing. But when you look at safety, it's an issue.
I think he makes an excellent point that I hadn't even thought of before. But that, yeah, I mean, I have neighbors that I can think of that you know, they've had a broken down vehicle in front, and I know their situation, but I like them as my neighbors, so I'm a little hesitant to call it in. And I think anybody can understand that. So if there's a technological fix for that,
And the pictures are all GPSed, so when they get sent in, you don't have to worry about it. It's on the corner of 4th and State Street. You don't have to worry about that. It's all GPSed. It comes in. Here's the GPS numbers of that photo. On it goes.
I have to say that that's also a recognition that staffing has to deal with those things, and so. But hopefully, you create efficiencies and empower the ones that are, out and about to be able to deal with it.
Okay, I just have a final question. How is engineering and Park and Rec feeling regarding the local option sales tax? I mean, when. Okay, now we're at the stage that we're at where we're awarding contracts for engineering services. We're going to have a lot of stuff happening, like in the next, now it's going to start, picking up. How are we, like, staff-wise and time-wise and all that stuff, is it manageable or is it going to be chaos?
I think it's a combination of both.
Such a thing, managed chaos. That's kind of the way I feel. Ask us again in 6 months, but
I think the subcommittees need to really grasp about what their project is going to be, and I think the architect, what Brian is saying, is going to help them guide them in the process. Like with the event center, we've only met 3 times, and so there's, and I talked to the chair today about it, and I talk to him almost every morning from 8 o'clock to 8:30 on the road, driving into work, about investing in Wilmer, from the recreation fields to Swanson and everything. So to keep him up to date with things. But they just need some guidance with the architect to get things rolling. Once that gets going, things will come together.
So you say a key component is the subcommittee involvement in that hierarchy of groups that we have really doing their work.
Yes, two of the groups are really involved. The event center one is we just don't know what that building's going to be yet. Okay. So that's
maybe too far out. The engineer can pull us in.
Yes,
it's not going to be as complex as like the community center, city hall one, though, is it?
It could be. Because. Okay. There's two different viewpoints on it. Is it, what do you consider an event center, or do you consider it a rec center? And then there's the other aspect piece of it too, is with the outdoor rink. So there's some strong feelings about this, there's strong feelings about that, and so it's how everyone can come together and put the best project out there. And so the guidance from the architect's going to help us, saying, hey, this is what we need to do. Let's do the carcass of the building, and then the phasing in will help out as well with the planning of it. So they need,
they just need to have some gentle pushing.
I just want to thank Rob for saying it, because part of what I was trying to convey before is this sense that there seems to be a sense of urgency that we have to have all of this done right now. And the architects really conveyed a message that there is a process and a time frame that needs to go through, both for the community and for staff and our ability to do it and to do it right. And so I've heard that from several people about, you know, slow down and do it right, even from the standpoint of the money part of it with that. And so I thank you for saying that, because that's some of the stuff that I'm hearing is there's no way we can do all of this at the same time.
We had a schedule that we had put out in the RFP saying, here's what we generally think. They took that and said, yeah, you need to add 2 weeks in here for public input, and we'll have three public inputs. So we just extended your project 6 weeks, you know, and you have, and that's hard for the Swanson Field people to understand that there is a process, and you wanna meet with your construction manager to find out that the dollars available are meeting the project cost. And then if they're not, you don't wait till the last minute to make that determination. You make that into 1/3 mark, and then you rehash this out and you rebuild what you think you were doing, and then you bring it back. And so it's a process, and I think every one of them basically said you have an aggressive timeline, but we can do it. And then they threw in extra weeks for review.
So there was a comment earlier about some people see the frustration of the timelines and how things can move. So are we making it understandable and palatable to the spearheaders of the local option sales tax, who I think had a vision and a dream of when those fields and event center was going to be done? It's probably a year or two away from what they were envisioning.
Well, I don't know, a year or two. Okay. I think like Swanson Field, instead of April, it may be September.
Yeah.
And the Swanson Field people were okay with that, because they know money's tight.
Okay.
And if they can save an extra $100,000 by shifting it to the end of the season, that's $100,000 they can use somewhere else.
Sure. Okay.
I guess the only message that I would want to convey to staff is, if there are concerns at the don't wait for it to blow up and boil over. Bring it to us early on so that it doesn't look like something that, you know, like I said, once it boils over and you have committees upsetting you, and then all of a sudden we're behind. I mean, if it's something that looks like it's going to be a problem, let's discuss it, you know, at a committee level first. And then we can mitigate from there. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll go and enjoy the wonderful weather, eh?
Okay. We adjourn.
We can motion to adjourn. So moved. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.